Isaiah chapter number 21. If you're turning there, let me just give you a little brief excerpt of what's going on here in this passage of scripture. It's 689 BC, and the world is in a turmoil. All the nations of that area had hoped against hope that Babylon would be able to defeat the Assyrian aggressors to the north, but no matter how much they wanted it or desired it, Babylon fell to the Assyrians, and everyone knew that they would not be stopped until they dominated the entire region thereabout. Against the backdrop of war and the certain attack upon the nation of Israel, God commands his prophet Isaiah. He commands him to assume the role of what we know as a watchman. Isaiah is to look to the prophetic future. He's to tell the people what he sees approaching. And this is just exactly what Isaiah does in the passage of Scripture. Now, this message might have been given nearly 2,700 years ago, but it's as timely as today's headlines. And I pray today that God will speak to our heart as the war rages in our world. People are losing their lives by the thousand by terrorist attack, freak natural disasters, and horrors of war. And on another level, the tsunami of sin in our world is rising. Old conviction and biblical standards are being swept right out from under us before our eyes. The winds of change are blowing all around about us, and fearful things are just over the horizon. But today, just as there was in Isaiah's day, there's a need for the people to assume the role of a watchman. And so I've entitled the message today, Where is the Watchman? Where is the Watchman? And I pray today that God would help us today to see the need in our lives that we might be the watchman that God has given to us. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that it's quick and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, today I pray that you'd open my mouth, fill me with your Spirit, anoint my lips with thy Spirit. And Lord, may I say today what you would have me to say that would bring us to the place that we need to understand where we are, what's going on, and what you're doing in our lives today. Father, we thank you now for what you're doing, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I believe we're living in some of the most crucial times that we've ever lived in our life. Things are happening on every hand like we've never seen before. And I believe today Satan would love nothing more than to overrun our lives and our churches and destroy everything that we have stood for and continue to stand for in the days ahead. The devil, the enemy, desires to see our ministries, our families, our testimonies, our churches, everything biblical. He wants to see it spirit. He wants to see it dashed upon the rocks of failure. I preached last week about the matter of failure. I say you're never a failure until you just quit. You can get up and keep on going if you desire to. But if we avoid such a fate, we need to consider the work of the ancient watchman. In this passage of scripture that I'm about to give you here in just a moment, we see the passage of scripture where God calls for a person to be a watchman. If you have your Bibles there with me, look at verse number 6. He said, "For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth." What we find is in ancient times, people lived within the walled cities, and they were considered, if they lived in a walled city, to be blessed people. Oftentimes we've preached on subjects such as building a wall about our life in order that we might be protected. But by being inside the city walls, they had two forms of protection. The first protection was the wall itself. It stood as a barrier between the enemy and the citizens of that town. It stood as a barrier between the acceptable and those who were not acceptable. It was a wall that was formidable, and it was a barrier to all trouble. The city of Jericho, if you remember, that ancient city, which placed great value on the defensive nature of that vast, thick wall, according to Joshua 6:1. We know what God allowed to happen with that, but yet it was a great advantage in that day. A second form of protection for the walled city was not only did it have a wall to keep out the undesirable or the enemy, but it also had a watchman. It had a watchman that stood watch over the city round about, no doubt. I don't know exactly how many, but there was a watchman that perhaps maybe would patrol the perimeter of that city, and he would watch for invading armies. He would look for great dangers when they come into view, and he would sound the word. And so what this is we find this is the watchman's mission. This is what he was to do. The watchman's mission that was given to him was essential to the survival of the city. Without the watchman, those inside the wall were blind. And without the wall, the watchman would have been unnecessary because literally he could not have seen. In verse number 6, it points out a twofold duty of the ancient watchman. And this was his mission, literally. And it's very simple. This is nothing profound. But the Bible said in verse 6, "For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman, and let him declare what he seeth." So a watchman, not hard to define. It's very easy. Sometimes we say certain things about certain people, but if I was to ask you what a watchman was, I think you would have no problem identifying him. Well, he's one that watches, and truly, that's exactly what it was. But it was an important duty in order that he watch out for the city. He was stand in the towers. He was to stand upon the wall. His eyes was to continually scan the countryside. He was to look for a glimmer of something. Maybe it might be armor. It may be chariots or whatever it might be. It may be the dust of the horses that were coming by the thousands. But his place was to be alert, to be diligent. He was to watch out, and if he saw anything that was out of the ordinary, he was to inform the people of the city in order that they might be prepared. But not only was the watchman given the job to watch, and truly he had a job to watch, he had to watch for the enemy, but not only did he watch, but he had to warn. It would have been one thing for him to sit on the wall and saw a great host of an army coming toward them, and he just decided that he was too tired to get up, so he wasn't going to tell the people in the city. Be of no value, it'd be of loss. So the watchman had a twofold job. His job was to watch, and second of all, his job was to warn. When he saw everything approaching, he was to give a report to all the people below of the conditions that were outside. When troubles arose in the distance, he was to lift up his voice and sound the warning to the people that the walls could, so they could prepare themselves for those who lived outside the city that might come to harm them. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, kind of gives the same idea. The Bible says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." The watchman was to watch, but the watchman was to warn of dangers that lurked on the outside of the walls. In Hosea chapter 8, verse 1, where Hosea was told, "To set thy trumpet upon thy mouth." Set the trumpet to thy mouth. In other words, an ancient watchman would watch and he would warn. I wonder if there was ever a time when a watchman was needed around the church. I wonder if there's ever a time today in the day and age which we lived in that we need a watchman around the house. I wonder sometimes if there's needs in our lives to where there's a watchman down at the schoolhouse. I would say today that there's a great need in our society today for some watchmen. And I believe today that we need to understand the importance of that. Sometimes we sit back and we just allow things to go as they are. We kind of ignore them and we think they're going to go away. We stick our head in the sand and we say, "Well, it's going to get better." But in all reality, if somebody don't warn us of the danger, it'll get nothing but worse. We need people that have discernment of the Word of God. I believe today that we need to be faithful to the house of God. I believe we need to be faithful in reading the Word of God. I believe we need to be faithful in understanding what the Word of God says and warning those around about us. Unfortunately today, there's some that do not hear and there's some that do not listen, but we have a responsibility today to let the people know that the enemy is lurking about trying to destroy us. And he tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Let me just go back. I want to say we need a watchman in the family. I tell you today, if you love your children, you're going to do what's best for your children. If you love your children, you're going to warn them of the dangers of drugs. You're going to warn them of the dangers of alcohol. You're going to warn them of the dangers of being outside the will of God if you're a child of God. At least if you're a good parent, you will. And you'll do everything in your power to protect your children by telling them all the things they need to know. I believe today one of the greatest things in the family is that we need to have communication. Communication one with another and communication with our children. That we warn them and listen, they're going out into a world today that cares nothing about them and would love to destroy them and take them down. But they need to be warned of the dangers that lurk on every hand. We need people to watch and warn others of what they see coming. I think today that we see things coming. And by the way, could I say that a lot of things we see coming is nothing more than fulfillment of the prophecy of the Word of God. I'm not going to keep saying it. I've said it so many times. I believe Jesus could come at any moment. And I believe that there's things that are going to happen in the last days. And I believe there's things happening right now that we might as well understand. I'm grateful today that I'm not going through the tribulation because I'm saved by the grace of God. One day God is going to call us home to be with Him. But whether the news is good or whether it's bad, we need some watchmen. We need some people, some adults, some people in the church that have some discernment, that know the Word of God. And they need to warn people, not only in Thomasville, but around the world. We need to warn people. That's why we send missionaries all over the world in order that they might get the gospel and warn others that there's a reckoning day coming. Whether we see it or not, every area of life as we know it is under attack. The enemy is doing everything he can to invade the church. He's trying to lead us down the wrong path. And we need watchmen. We need watchmen today. And I wonder what our enemy are doing. I wonder if anybody's going to raise the alarm. And sometimes people don't see. In fact, it's amazing to me. And I don't want to get into it. But I'm telling you, if there's ever a day that I thought that the house of God would be filled with God's people hungry for the Word of God, I would think it would be the day in which we're living right now when I see the things going about. But I look around and there seems to be no urgency or no sense of urgency in anybody's life about anything that's going on. Children have forgotten the meaning of obedience and submission. Husbands and wives have lost the concept of faithfulness and parents have forgotten how to apply the Board of Education, as someone said, to the seat of learning. We're raising a generation many times of rebels, nothing about submission to authority. I'm grateful today that somebody needs to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope for America is Jesus today. It's not in man. It doesn't matter who it is. The Bible teaches and we understand no matter who's in charge, it's God that ultimately gives and promotes and takes down. But what we need to understand today is we need people that will warn people. Somebody said, well, I'd witness to somebody, but I'm afraid they get mad. I'd rather get mad and get saved and go to heaven than to not get mad and die and go to hell. God has been kicked out of the schoolhouse. This book is off limits of the house of God. Children are forbidden to pray. Teachers and coaches losing their jobs because they still give God glory for who He is and what He's done. Students are told that we were not created by God, but we evolved. And that we came about and that really God doesn't exist. If they believe that, then the result of evolution, that means there's no rules. It means there's no speed limits. Well, we'd be in a mess with that. People can careen down the highway as fast as they desire, but without thought or consequences. But you know what? Things not so good in the church, but things aren't so good outside the church. People outside the wall don't want to be bothered with the thoughts of God, His will, or His word. Somebody said, you know, America's a Christian nation. Friend, I pray that's the case, but I'm afraid maybe America used to be a Christian nation. It seems today there's more people that don't believe in God than there are that do believe in God. It fits into the narrative that tells us broad is the way and narrow is the way that leads to heaven. Broad is the way that leads to hell. But today, not only do we need to warn people, not only do we need to warn the church and the people of God about what's going on and what we're experiencing and what we're seeing, we need to warn them because Jesus is coming. And when He comes, it's going to be all over. Then there's nothing else can be done. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to warn the lost. We need to warn the lost that they need to be saved or they're going to die and go to hell. It's strange to me you can preach a message like this and not hear a single amen. But I tell you today, it's sad We can't give the gospel out to lost people because they're dying and going to hell every day we live. And yet, you know what we've done? We've just ignored it. Friend, I don't know about you, but I want everybody in heaven with me. I want everybody I possibly can to get to heaven. What is the watchman's mission? He's to watch. He's to warn. And could I tell you today, you're going to be, and I'm going to be, responsible for some of those people that die and go to hell. Because we didn't warn them. We did not tell them that Jesus was coming. The second thing I want you to see, what was the watchman's method? Well, if you would, the first thing we notice in verse 7 and 8, and he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of counsels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, "A lion! My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights." The thing that he said is he saw. He was watching. He was not asleep at the job. He was watching, and the Bible said he hearkened diligently with much heed to what he said. He took great care in watching. He took great care in noting that everything he saw in verse 8, he talks about that. He cried a lion, "My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime. I'm set in my ward whole nights." In other words, I'm here even when they're asleep. It may appear, you know, and by the way, when he refers to lions, they say, have very short eyelids. And even when they're asleep, it appears that they're awake. And their eyes are open in watchmen. And so he's comparing that to him. He said, like a lion, mine eyes are literally, they're always open. They're always mindful. They're always watching. The watchman is saying that his place is to watch day and night. You know how important it is to understand that we don't need to let a single hour go by without watching, because just as sure as you let it go by, somebody may slip in and destroy you. The Lord's watchmen did not get caught up in the excitement of the times. We're not to be disturbed by the events around about us. We're ever watching. I believe that. I believe that by the Spirit of God that we see things happening that I believe is prophecy being fulfilled according to the Word of God. And we know how things appear. And we know when things are well, and we know when things aren't well. And we know when we look over the horizon and we see something that shouldn't be there, we sound the warning. Our world is in the midst of a profound change. We're disturbed by the things that's happening around about us. We watch always. And we ought to be warning with necessity. I've often used the illustration, if your child was in the yard and you saw a rattlesnake close by, you would warn them. You would do everything you could to kill that rattlesnake. And friend, today, I'm afraid that we've allowed sin to invade our homes and nobody's warned. Nobody said, look out, it's right behind you. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you're a watchman, keep your eyes on your enemy and what he's doing. Sound the alarm when it's necessary to defeat him, to keep him from getting a foothold into the house of God, or into the home, or into your life. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. I tell you, sometimes we're crazy, and there's some of you tonight and probably right now saying, preacher, you've just gone crazy. What you all worked up about? I tell you what I'm worked up about. I'm worked up about the prophecy being fulfilled right before our noses, and there don't seem to be any concern in our community, don't seem to be any concern in our churches for what's taking place, and we're warning nobody. The upcoming dangers that we're facing every day. Notice, He was vigorous to warn. When he saw trouble approaching, he did not keep the message to himself. He opened his mouth and he shouted out it to all to hear. He told everybody in earshot what was coming, What a lesson today as we watch the enemy approaching, even near the walls of the church. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. I'm pretty old, and I don't know how much longer God is going to give me. But I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart, if God gives me very much more time, I believe that churches, if he doesn't come back, I believe we're going to be limited to what we can stand in our pulpits and preach. I don't think we will have to be, because we just have to do what God tells us to do. But I believe there's coming a day when people are going to tell us what we can do. They're going to take away our tax-exempt status. They're going to make it as hard as they possibly can for churches and Christians to take a stand for God. And my duty is just to tell you, it's your duty to respond and do whatever God would have you to do. The great danger and eternal devastation is on the horizon. You said, somebody used to preach, you're just getting all worked up for nothing. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've read this book enough times, not as many times as I ought to, but I've read it enough, and I know what God's Word says. And friend, it has never failed me in 71 years, and it's not going to start failing me now. God's Word is true. The Bible said in Acts 24:25, he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. That's our duty. He reasoned of righteousness. And brother, we as Christians ought to be living righteous lives, holy lives, of temperance and of judgment. I wish this morning I could tell you that everything was all rosy and everything's just going to end good and we're just going to all be at peace one day with the Lord, but it just ain't so. There's going to be a judgment day coming, and if you're lost, it's going to be an eternal judgment and separation from God. If you are saved, there's going to be a giving account of your life and what you've done. And by the way, I'm going to have to give an account for how I warned my family. I'm going to have to give an account for how I warned my church. And one day, you're going to have to give an account just how you responded to the warning she got. You know, some would say, what's the use? Nobody's listening. And I'd have to tend to agree with you to a certain degree. But all I can tell you is there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible said that the judgment seat of Christ, that one day you'll stand before the Lord, and when we do, we'll all give an account of our lives, including how well we warned our friends and neighbors about the judgment to come. Romans 4:14-12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That's the Word of God. I didn't say that. He said in Romans 14:12, every one of us should give an account to God. The truth is illustrated by the Lord's words to the prophet Ezekiel. He said in Ezekiel 33, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not the warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood should be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, he took not the warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at his hand. So then, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. Thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require on thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You say, why are you acting crazy? Why are you talking about this warning stuff? Because I just read to you what's going to be accountable when I stand before God. What I'm doing. I do not want to stand before God. Somebody here may think, but you lost it. You know, that's just crazy. Listen, God said, be holy for I am holy. And God says that there's a judgment day coming. And friend, I'm telling you, There's some people one day is going to stand before God and they're going to remember what this old crazy preacher they thought said. And they're going to say, I didn't understand it then. Listen, you better understand it now. We have a responsibility to sound the alarm and to blow the trumpet in order that people might get right with him. Lastly, what is the watchman's message? I'm glad you asked. Verses 11 and 12. This is a prophecy of Eden. And notice what it says. The burden of Duma. He calleth me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? And the watchman saith, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return and come. Now, this kind of picture, somebody, it talks about the burden of Duma, the people of Duma, and they're standing at the bottom of the wall, and they're hollering out to the watchman. Literally, I think that what we see is basically as they cry out to him, and they said, watchman, what of the night? In other words, what is it you see? The question has been interpreted like this. Some say that it was a question that reflected a careless heart. In fact, some people believe the question they were asking was done in sarcasm. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of sarcasm today. As a whole today, I'm amazed at how receptive people are to the gospel and to gospel tracts. I think even more so than it was years ago, even though a great majority care nothing about it. But yet, people are many times sarcastic. I remember witnessing to a man one time and asking him if he had ever prayed and asked the Lord to save him. And he laughed just as hard as he could. He had a hearty laugh. He said, oh, yeah. He said, every time I was in the war, World War II, he said, when I was in the war and I was in that foxhole, he said, them bullets was flying over my head. And he's laughing the whole time. He said, I prayed and asked God to save me. And I said, well, friend, I don't think that's going to get you to heaven. I said, I think it's going to have to be being serious and having a personal relationship. That man's dead today. He said, where do you think he is? I don't make judgments, but I think unless he got right with God, he's in hell today. And I can tell you one thing, he's not laughing. And all I can say is, I hate it, but I hope he remembers that I warned him. I hope that he remembers that I warned him. The questioner did not care whether he received an answer or not. What of the night, watchman? He didn't care if he heard from him. Some believe the question was born out of contempt. The questioner may have been saying to the watchman, I know what you think you see, and I hear what you're saying, but I do not believe that a word of it, and I'm not going to heed your warning. That's kind of the way that man was. You're crazy. I'm probably crazier than you know, but I can tell you one thing. I'm not crazy when it comes to the Word of God, not to say I'm smart about everything. But I can tell you everything in this Word is true. And brother, there's a judgment day coming. And I'm going to tell you something. If I wasn't saved, I would not leave here today. I'd know I was saved. And I tell you, if I wasn't living right, if I wasn't doing right, if I wasn't where I needed to be today, I wouldn't leave here today. I'd want to get right. Because I'm telling you, you've heard the warning. I've sounded it out this morning. You may have a careless heart. You may have a heart of contempt. But you may also have a heart of concern. The questioner might have been saying, watchman, tell me, is everything all right? When will the morning come? Is there hope? Hey, watchman, tell me. But regardless of the reason for the question, the watchman has a threefold answer that he gives to the one that asks. First of all, if you have your Bibles, go back to verse 12. The watchman said, the morning cometh. The watchman sounds out the glad note that night is nearly spent and dawn is on the horizon. I love that song, Joy Comes in the Morning. I tell you today, I know as I've gone through life and I've understood what's going on around about, there's nothing any more dreadful than to be going through a dark time in your life. And there's some of you that are going through some dark times right now in your life. But I got news for you. As long as you're trusting God and doing what's right, morning is almost here. It could be in a number of ways. It could be through the Lord's coming. The night is often the most frightening. My wife was always good to take care of my boys when they were sick. And by the way, they always wanted mama when they were sick. There was something about mama that daddy didn't have. But I tell you, my sleep has been interrupted at night as she rocked one of them, or as she gave them medicine, or as she kissed their forehead and it burnt her lips. And I've been a little bothered by that, not complaining because she was doing all the work. But I'm going to tell you, man, I never in my life have been so ecstatic as when I saw the sun coming up in the morning. Friend, the sun's coming up in the morning. The Lord Jesus is coming again, and I tell you, there's hope, and here's the watchman. He said, listen, it's going to be all right. He said, the morning cometh. And friend, one day the morning cometh, and whether the Lord takes us out of here or whether we go together or however it occurs, if you're saved, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and forever and forever. But we noticed something else. I'm happy to tell you that the Lord is coming. The Bible said in Psalm 30, verse 5, it said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I tell people sometimes they're going through hard times. Some of you are going through hard times. I think I told Brother Ronald this other day. We was talking about it. And I know this is hard to comfort somebody that's going through something that you're not going through or you've never been through. But I told Brother Ronald, I was talking to him. I said, Brother Ronald, my favorite words in the Bible, and it came to pass. Friend, I'm going to tell you today, one day, morning is going to dawn. And what a joy it's going to be. But notice also, the watchman said, the morning cometh. And then he says, also the night. I wish we could. Somebody said, preacher, why don't you preach on heaven more? I do preach on heaven. I love heaven. I love singing songs about heaven when I go to the nursing home. I love telling people about heaven. But I'm going to tell you, you can teach and preach and sing about heaven all your life, but it ain't going to get you there if you never trusted in Him and been saved by the grace of God. We must tell them that the night also comes. And just as quick as the morning comes, night will fall again every day. The watchman says, after the morning passes, night will return. The day goes back through another cycle. It will not be broken. We go from night to day. We go from night to day. That's been going on ever since I was born. It's been going on ever since you was born. And it's not about to stop now. Yet the day-night cycle will not be broken for Israel. There may be a light at the end of the tunnel, but if Israel don't repent, there'll be another dark tunnel for them. Friend, I got light at the end of the tunnel today. Hope and help is in the Lord. There's light at the end of the tunnel. But if you reject Christ, you might as well just put a barrier over the end of it, because you won't see the light anymore as you fail and reject His message. For the people of God, there's a joyous morning in the horizon. But for the lost sinner, there's nothing but a dark night. In fact, the Bible says, people talk about it, say, well, you know, if I die and go to hell, it'd be all right. I'll be down there with all my friends. You will. But you won't know it, and they won't know it either. The Bible says you're cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I can't even imagine what hell is going to be like, and I don't want to. The wrath which under the law the lost live today will come crashing down. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We must tell them, if you'll inquire ye. In fact, he talks about that. He says in the latter part of verse 12, he said, if you will inquire ye, return, come. That was the message Israel needed then, and it's the message that we still need today. There's a danger and a great danger that looms, but today it's not too late. Today is the day of salvation. God, I believe, is still saving souls. God's still changing lives. He's still receiving all who will come to him by faith. And this is a message that we need to share. And as long as I got breath, I'm going to share it till Jesus comes. There's great danger today surrounding the church. I don't believe in all my years of ministry that I've seen the apathy like we see in the house of God, the lack of respect for God and the things of God. Today, our homes, our community, the world at large, the enemy is creeping closer and closer and closer. And he's threatening everything we love and hold dear. And the threat gets larger every day that we live. But where are the watchmen? Where are the watchmen who are gazing out over the horizon? Where are the watchmen who see the approaching judgment? Where are the watchmen who see the enemy creeping even closer to the walls of our churches, our families, our homes, and our communities? Where are the watchmen who will set the trumpet to their lips and sound the warning? Are you doing everything you can to comfort those looking for hope, but challenge those who are headed for hell? I want to challenge each of you today to understand that we have a responsibility to be a watchman. Dads, rise up. Be the head of the house. Make the decisions. Make sure that you warn your family, your children, the impending judgment of God. Preachers, Sunday school teachers, warn of the judgment to come. You know, this may just be another message that you don't understand, and maybe you think that I've lost it. But this is where it gets down to the nitty-gritty. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and I'm doing nothing except telling you what the Bible says. The question is, what are we going to do? Whether we're going to do what the Bible says or whether we're not. We need the watch. Where are the watchmen? Where's the people that will raise up and say, that's wrong. This is not right. We're going to do what's right according to God's will.